So welcome. Yeah, I mean, wow. It's not the kind of stuff that you normally hear about in church, right? Like sermon topics, when you think about anger, pressure, particularly peer pressure, bullying, anxiety. It might feel a little bit like LO class, because I guess some of these topics you might discuss, but we've come at it from a family, a community perspective. We've come at it from the Word of God over the weeks as well. And so we've looked at suicide and drugs and breakups, and we broke it in the middle with that celebration. Remember we had that big breakfast morning? I think we needed that because it got heavy. And so this is the last Sunday. We're going to take a break, and I'll mention what we're going to do next term, but it's going to be a lot different. But we're going to end with something light. Fighting abuse. Our superhero this week, if you can guess, is... I'm hearing his name being called out. He's the Batman, right? You all know that. There's a game for PS3 and maybe PC2, if you're a PC user. Batman, Arkham Origins. Ta-da-ta-da. Here's the trailer from last year's GameCon. But we mentioned once that Spider-Man hated bullying. And I found something interesting when I was researching for this week, that Batman hates abuse. And it's got something to do with his mom and dad who were killed once in an alley. And his mom was investigating a sex abuse ring and trade in children. And this is what he says: I fought Penguin and Joker, Jean-Paul Valet, and all to honor your memory, mom and dad, because you died in an alley, love always Bruce. And in these two comics, part one and part two, it's called Batman and the Ultimate Evil. And when I first saw that picture, I thought the Ultimate Evil is probably some big, you know, like one of those superhero guys or something. No, it was the kingpin of this sex ring in a country, a fictional country in this comic, but like a Thailand or something like that. And he goes off to that place and fights against Ultimate Evil. Cool, right? I don't know if there's a worse villain. When I think about the worst possible villain, I think Joker's right up there. He's sadistic. He's mean, right? Maybe Bane is like as bad or worse, right? These are guys that are just, they abuse people. And Batman spends his life fighting against abusers. Now let's try and understand. If we think of just what abuse is all about, I want to start with an example, a bit of an enacted example of what abuse. When we think of the word abuse, it's when something is used wrongly, or when it's used improperly, or something is misused. And so if we bring that into this idea that abuse happens to people in society, formally we say that abuse is an act or a failure to act. So it's either something done or not done on the part of a parent or a caregiver, or could just be someone else as well, which results in either death, serious physical or emotional harm, or sexual abuse or exploitation of the individual, or an act which presents an imminent risk of serious harm to an individual. It's quite broad, right? So as we begin to look at what it is today, you'll see that we need to look at a few different aspects. So it's not just one thing. It's not just being physically abused, okay? But there's a whole range of things. And I don't know if you've ever had some awareness or experience of some form of abuse, or you've heard about it, or some of you heard in the news. Debbie was saying just last night you heard about some very tragic abuse thing that involved rape and something, and someone had sent her a message to ask her to pray, and it happens all around us. So maybe just to the person next to you, if you've been aware of something, I'll open up about a story just now from my own life, my own sister, and let's see if you've got some commonality and you know of something that's happened. Okay, just 30 seconds of sharing. It's a little bit different sharing about abuse, isn't it, don't you find? It was a lot easier to share, but I remember this one time there was this bully and he was stealing people's lunch. But to talk about abuse is hectic. And it's part of the problem inherent in this topic, because it's hard to talk about it, especially if it's done to you. I hear some of the most underreported stuff that goes on is stuff that happens to guys. Because we're guys. Like, I'm not going to tell someone that this happened to me. I keep it to myself. It's It's hectic. I want to explore some of the kinds of abuse, but I want you to try and identify them first. I have some split screen images. There's just two screens, so there's this with two. Try and see what kind of abuse is going on, and I'll show you another one. I'll put these two back on side by side now. What kind of abuse, before I just launch into it, can you see? So maybe with that person next to you, ask them, did you see one? Let them share one, and you share one, and see if there's more than one kind of abuse in there. Sure, you've spotted quite a few, right? There's a common one, I guess, the physical side. Let me take you through some of, technically, the different kinds of abuse. And you saw that one, right? Physical abuse, punching, smacking with a belt and stuff. And physical abuse is any harm done to the person's body. And it can leave marks. It may not leave marks, but it can. Any way that you use physical violence on someone, shaking, punching, scratching, slapping, those are all forms of physical abuse. There's sexual abuse, anything done towards a person inappropriately or what's not allowed in terms of sex, sexual advances. And I think, did you see that in that image? I kind of felt that there was something from that woman reaching out to that one kid as well, maybe. Just inappropriate contact and touch. Emotional abuse, and this would be more by the words that are said over the person. It's sometimes known as psychological abuse as well. That it messes with the person's sense of worth and identity, attacks them. I think some of us might have grown up in a generation where parents would say things like, you're useless, you're rubbish, you never amount to anything, you're stupid. And I think in society over the last few years, there's become more of a consciousness about the words we use and the harm that they can have, the abuse, so yelling, screaming at someone. And the last one is neglect. It's just the absence. And you might think, well, that's cool. I just like to be left alone. But being left alone without given love and attention and affirmation is not great. I think this kid is kind of like home alone type thing, you know, just left there and has no one looking after her. I have a slide of some examples of physical abuse, signs of abuse, and it's quite some clever graphics there to try and show that we can harm people in many ways, but unexplained injuries. My sister was 15 and a half when she got married. Got married in our home, good couple months pregnant with a child, and 2 weeks before the wedding day, her husband-to-be pushed her off a second-story building. We don't know if he tried to kill her, if he just got such a rage. And that should have been a sign, the first and the last sign for my sister. Mark, I love him. I mean, I'm carrying his child. We have to be together. And she went ahead with it. We spent the next 2 to 3 years trying to intervene in her life when she kept on arriving with bruises. And, no, it's okay, nothing happened. I fell down, I walked into the door. You can only walk into a door so many times before you should start getting worried about someone who walks into a door. And we had to take serious action with her. You smuggle her out of Durban, put her on a train to Joburg, and it wasn't a nice situation. Unexplained injuries. It just doesn't seem to match up, you know? It's like, really? Did that happen? And those marks over there? You know, there's like strangle marks on your arm. What happened? No, I bumped myself. There's a difference between a bruise and someone's been shaking you around. Changes in behavior. Regression, or what's returning to an earlier form of behavior. It happens more pronounced in children maybe than teens, and I am going to be focusing on your world today, so it's not going to be a lot about, you know, child abuse per se, but a fear of going home. Someone who would love going home, and you say, well, you're going like, no, I have to go home now. Wow, what's the problem? Home's cool, right? Yeah. Can I stay at your house? That's a sign that something's not right. It might just be they're in trouble for not doing something, but it could be a warning sign. Changes in school performance or in eating or sleeping. Interesting, we've mentioned in a number of these topics, like depression and others, even suicide, I think, there will be a change in eating or sleeping. That it's an indication that stuff is not going on well. Lack of personal care. When you've been abused, you might not care about yourself anymore because your self-worth has been harmed. Risk-taking behavior, and inappropriate sexual behavior. I was quite overwhelmed when I began to delve into some of the statistics and realized that we're not talking about an isolated thing here. 1 in 10 high school students have been hit by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Did you notice the unusual word in there, girlfriend? You know, you kind of don't expect that, right? You expect it's like the boyfriend, because it's guys that, well, yeah. 1 in 3 adolescents experience physical, emotional, sex abuse from their dating partner. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1 of every 3. Now, statistics don't always work quite like that, but that's the implication. That maybe 4 of you, 5 of you, could have an experience of abuse. And we're not asking for show of hands, not by any stretch of the imagination. Do you know around, have you ever seen a sign like that? We've got one very near our home. It's on the Gordon off-ramp. And I was driving from the airport. I just picked up a guy, Stephen, and his son, and they were going to come and hang out in South Africa and do the whole father-son, and they were from Australia. So as we drove from the airport, and we're chatting about, oh, nice to have you guys here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to the Kruger, yada, yada, yada. And he says, like, what's that sign? And it was one of these signs. And as I was about to say, well, this is a spot where stuff hijackings can happen, a guy ran up the bank, ran to the driver's side of a lady who was driving, in one motion, disappeared through the closed window. He had a spark plug in his hand. I figured out afterwards what had gone on. And apparently if you hold, this is good if you want to get through a car window. You put a spark plug in your hand with that, like, that lead part facing there, and you can just literally, in one motion, the guy fell through the window, and in the next motion came out with a handbag and ran back down and into a waiting car and sped off on the N1 highway going south. He had just asked me what a hijacking hotspot was, and in front of us played out, it's like, welcome to Joburg. Have a great trip. It's going to be awesome. And I've never seen that happen outside of him, you know, on that one day with some Aussie friends. It's like, woo! And they were like quite big, rugged, outback types. They were like, awesome, you know? We're like, hey, can we chase him? And he was gone before we... And there's that shock, you know, that moment of like, what do I do now? So there's these hot spots, crime hot spots, and there's certain places that you need to be careful of. And this got me thinking that what are some of the hot spots in and around your life that you need to be cautious and concerned about? Now, I want to say, I'm not suggesting that when I go into this, that you must never be in any of these hot spots. Like, sometimes I can't help but go on that. But when I'm in this spot, what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure that, for example, my camera's not on or my phone's not on next to me. I'm going to look around. And if it's late at night, maybe I'm going to drive through the red robot, stop and go type thing, okay? So it doesn't mean you must never, for example, in any of these abuse hotspots, that you must never go anywhere there. But I want to suggest that a big one, because of everything I've read, seems to be in this guy-girl relationship zone. It's a hotspot because it's when we're intimate. It's when we spend maybe a lot of time together, you know? And you know that our desire is not to just encourage just dating around, hopping around, doing the high school hookup game, you know? We also don't have a rule at youth that says, thou shalt never date. For in the month that thou doest, thou shalt get fleas in thy armpit. There's not really a verse like that. But it seems to be, this could be a battlefield. I want you to look at this one girl's testimony of what happened in her life. Hectic story. And I guess she felt like there was no help, no way out for her. Maybe if you ever find yourself in a relationship and you're going to get all this in a page handout, but you need to be looking out because it's just possible that you could be dating someone or relating with someone or involved with someone, whether it's a coach, and we'll talk about other hotspots, or some adult who is verbally abusive, has something of a split personality, like a Jekyll and Hyde. 1 minute, great, cool. Next minute, something happens. Wow, it's just hectic. Threats of violence. Do they break objects? If you're starting to put tick marks at any point, you're needing to get out. Jealousy, especially extreme jealousy over an individual. Controlling everything that happens in your life. Unrealistic expectations. I expect this and this and this. isolation, pulling you away from everyone else and just, you know, making you not allowed to or want to be with anyone else. Blaming others for stuff that's happening, never themselves. And any form of cruelty to animal or children. Signs of an abuser. The Bible says something really scary. That if you harm one of these little ones, God says this, then it's better that that person would have a millstone put around its neck with a rope and they'd be dropped into the ocean. God, you talk about Batman hating abuse. God hates abuse. God loves, but he's not for someone who's going to be an abuser, and help is needed for that individual. I want to suggest, according to statistics, that a second area to be on the caution about is home, and more particularly with extended relatives. 90% of abuse is done by someone you know or trust. That doesn't mean it's only people in the home. Some of those could be other relationships and that. But our home environment, now again, with the hotspots, should you move out of your home and live in the youth room from now on? No, obviously not. Home is meant to be that safe place where you're protected and nurtured. But it's not uncommon sometimes for an uncle or an aunt or someone to be an abuser or a predator. And so it's about being cautious. There's another hotspot, which is groups. Kind of like looks like the youth room. It's not a picture of our youth room. But you need to watch out for groups that you're a part of. Maybe it's that hockey group or the swimming group or the rugby even. You know, there could be something going on. You have what's known as a grooming process where you're targeted by someone. There's some sort of a friendship forming and then almost just like loving relationship. And before you know it, you're caught in the midst of an abusive relationship and there's inappropriate touch taking place. Anytime you feel that and it's inappropriate and it's not right, anytime someone is saying, hey, come, let's meet secretly and quietly. You know, one of our values here, even as a church, is that we counsel generally within the same gender because we want to make sure that there's not the appearance of evil or any opportunity for something to take place. And so don't feel because it's a church or it's a school or it's a Boy Scouts or Girl Guides or something that you're absolutely safe. Be on the guard. If you feel uncomfortable, if someone's hugging you in a way that's not comfortable, don't let it take place. Don't let it happen. Say no. You own your body. Ne? It's not someone else's thing. Often in society, I watch guards with hands all over a woman, and it's very clear that it's out in the streets even. She's like, yeah. And he just seems to feel like, I can do this. No. It's not your property, boy. Back off, you know? Watch out for it. Parties. Thou shalt never go to parties is the 11th commandment. No, it's not. But that could be a place. The scariest image I've seen maybe in my life is this one. Last 2 weeks ago, or three maybe now, a woman phoned in to 702 and said she had just got back from Edenvale Hospital and she was tested positively for Rohypnol, the date rape drug. And she was at a club, and fortunately she was with some friends because she had passed out and came to about an hour later. If she hadn't been among her friends, she would have been raped. Someone slipped her something in her drink with evil intentions, right? And she was reporting it by just saying, guys, girls, be aware, be on the lookout. And it's when I think we go away from the group. It's like a little impala saying, I don't need the big group of impalas. I'm going to go and dance in front of the lions because I'm quick. You know, I can run. It's like, no. You need that pack because when the pack is together, I've even seen a wildebeest kill a lion because that lion gets in the end no match for this whole group together. If there's an umbrella and you're not holding it under your head, over your head, then you're going to get wet and drenched. You know, there's protection, there's covering. Another hotspot would be being online. 10th commandment number 12, thou shalt not go online and be part of the internet, right? No, but you can be stalked, you know, like via Facebook. And how many of you have ever had someone kind of stalk you or send you inappropriate stuff? I keep getting messages. You know, if you have a website with a lot of resource and data with your email address, you'll get messages on Facebook. Hi, can we talk? I'm like, no, we're not. Delete, report, abusive, block, report. And you need to do that because that, number one, that person probably wants to extort money from you. You know, it's generally a scam if you see where it's going. So it's not a nice compliment to say, I loved your profile. Say, Lord, heal her head as she fell and hurt herself at the back. Shame. Okay? So watch out. Yeah, get out of it. Don't think it's just harmless. Wow, we'll just chat a bit. It should be fine. And texting. I guess it's kind of online and stuff. But that inappropriate sort of like connection that might happen with someone that sends you a message. I saw this week and I thought it was pretty dramatic. Read there. Sexual predators can hide on your smartphone. You see that? It's like, you might think it's innocent. Ah, it's just messages and stuff, but next minute you know. We have to, do you agree, fight abuse. We have to take charge and responsibility and weed it out. You know, we got to turn the statistics around so that maybe in 5 years' time they report, oh, one in every 500 people experience abuse. Where did all the abuse go? We stood up and took charge. So what can we do? Firstly, and we're going to go in two directions. Let's talk about our friends first, and then we'll wrap up with ourselves. I want to suggest that if my friends now, if I'm suspecting something, or just generally in terms of my friends, firstly, I need to watch them. I need to watch out. Those signs. I mean, there we listed some signs earlier, and this kind of reminds me a bit of what we've done already and said some of these. But if your friend is becoming more isolated from family and friends, warning. If they stop enjoying activities they once enjoyed, they're spending excessive amount of time with just that one person. They used to be the life of the group. Now you never see them with anyone else. Has your friend been afraid to displease their partner? Have they changed the way they act or dressed? Have they been physically injured by their partner? Oh, but I love him. It was just one time. One time might be too many. Are they becoming less independent? Are they very nervous about running late? Oh, I got to. Oh, he's going to kill me if I don't get there in time. You know, maybe it's important to be on time for an appointment, but this is creepy and different, right? Being called names, embarrassed, ridiculed, or insulted. You know, that idea that he loves me, when you hear that and then you, but he's calling you that, embarrassing, ridiculed. Love doesn't do that, does it? You know, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind and patient and gentle. It's not that. And somehow I've got to catch a wake-up call and realize that's not right. Or they apologize or made excuses for the person's actions. Warning signs. My friend is being abused, and so I need to help them. I need to do something. I can't just stand by, otherwise I'm part of the problem. I love this picture. You kind of like got some superheroes in the background, but all the friends are joining hand, working together to reach out and to rescue someone. You know, if you hear of someone, remember Steph, you were testing me that week about some young person that was really struggling, and after we had spoken about suicide, and you reached out. You didn't just turn a blind eye. It's like, oh, sucks to be you. Sorry, man. It's like hectic life. What happened? I'm busy. I can't intervene. But it's stopping what you do and saying, I'm going to lend a hand. I'm going to reach out to the person to help them. I might need to refer them because, to be honest, some issues might be hectic. And we even have guys in this church that specialize, like Dr. Brendan Belsham, a child psychiatrist who specializes in abuse and ADD and a number of tough issues. And sometimes you need to find a connection for the person who's been abused, maybe through your school counseling system or asking one of the leaders here or in somewhere else in society or in a clinic or something, because we just might need some serious intervention. The person might actually need to be, you know, to have the law enforcement and a restraining order raised and garnered against the individual who's the abuser. And then I think support is one thing that we all can do. And it's almost like we need to encourage the person on their hectic journey of recovery. And it's like cheering them on, like, you know what? We're here for you. You're going to be okay. You know, God is with you. He has a plan and a purpose. Debbie was sharing this morning in our prayer time that Romans chapter 8 passage says that it doesn't matter what you go through in life, and the word abuse is even part of that. Neither suffering or death or abuse is able to separate you from the love of God. God's love is with you. It's hard to feel that, and you need a friend to remind you of that, that, you know what, God loves you. God may hate the abuser, but God is for the brokenhearted. And God's also about the restoration of that abuser, of changing them. But God loves us. And so, if my friend is being abused, I'm not going to just turn a blind eye. I'm watching, if that's the case. I'm helping, I'm referring, and I'm supporting. Got it? You're up for the challenge? You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. Let's go on watch, you know, on lookout on these tough issues that we've been dealing with. I want to say a few things about what if you find yourself in a situation where you've been abused, in any of those hotspots. What do you do? Well, firstly, you have to get smart. You can't just let stuff happen to you and not know what's going on. If necessary, you need to say, hang on, I'm in a relationship with someone. They've got a short temper. They're jealous. They're controlling what I wear. They're trying to limit who I talk to. They're controlling my movements. They're taking up. This is not love, people. This is not a loving relationship. Love doesn't destroy, it doesn't limit, doesn't crush a person, doesn't jealously hold. I mean, look at God's love. Don't you notice that when we do wrong, God's love is big enough to deal with that and to wait and to restore us? God doesn't come with his huge stick and beat us up. That's not love. That's abuse. Am I in an abusive relationship? Get angry when you disagree with them, pressure you to engage in sexual activity, embarrass you in front of others. We need to get connected. And for some of us, it might be get and stay connected. It's when we're disconnected from our community. It's when I suddenly go off somewhere on my own to one of those hot spots maybe. Maybe to a party and there's no one else around, and or I'm maybe meeting a friend there. You know? Then when that drink gets spiked, what's going to happen to you? It's when I'm in that unusual place where I'm left all alone. And if necessary, if you feel uncomfortable, do something. You know, when you're among your mates and it's cool, that's great. Still be aware that something can happen there, but stay connected. You know, hang out together. Then get back up where necessary. Call for help. You know, don't try and do it on your own. Break the silence. Shout no to the perpetrator, but help to others. And shout until you get the help that you need. Don't let someone do anything to you that's not positive. And get help. And if the first person that you ask for help from doesn't help you, then keep asking. Find the counselor or find the person or the official who can help you. Find one of the leaders that might be able to help you. And I want to end by saying, get out. If you ever find yourself in a relationship that's obviously meeting all those criteria for abuse, then get out. If you've been harmed in any way, you know, we had to smuggle my sister out of Johannesburg, get her out of Durban, put her on a plane, I might have said, to Joburg, and the guy came around wanting to beat us up as a family, once tried to commit suicide on our front stoop, and we wouldn't tell him where Jenny had gone. And it was like, no, she's gone, pal. She ain't coming back. And it wasn't the life that she wanted. I mean, it was the life, I guess, that she made for herself. But she didn't deserve it. And it wasn't right. And there's rescue. There's help. There's an escape. And so if I am being abused, I need to get smart and connected. And I need to get back up where I need it and get help and get out of that relationship. Even better, don't ever get into a relationship that's got warning signs. Don't give your heart to someone before the time is right. Don't do it, you know. Put a guard around your life, you know. Say, hey, I'm going to get to know people. It often amazes me how in business or even church circles, a church or a business would employ someone, but they don't check up with the last employment or the last ministry area and say, like, so what happened? How did it go, you know? And I once had a church call me and said, what do you think about this person? I had to say, I don't think it would be wise because I've traveled with a person and it didn't go well. And there was a lot of concerns. And they took the advice. Listen to counsel from others, friends, leaders, parents, caregivers. I want you, James, can you help just get some of these passed around? I thought we used to talk about August wins, so we're talking September wins. Okay, fighting the abuse handout. Make sure that you've got access to that and maybe go through it in this coming week. And may God use this series to have equipped you to be able to make a difference around you. And as always, the offer is always out there. You want to speak to anyone? There's a lot of leaders in this room that can help. And sometimes just talking can be 80% of the road to recovery because you've just been bold enough to take that step and open up. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your concern. Lord, we see throughout Scripture, Lord, people who did evil and mean things to others, and we even saw how you responded in the day of Noah, the day of Lot, with Sodom and Gomorrah, how you just hate it when people abuse each other. And it's just so not your plan for this world, for us as human beings. And we pray that there would be an extra level of protection in this community, that, Lord, harm wouldn't befall any of us. But we pray, Lord, that we would be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as your scripture says. But that we would watch out, Lord God, for what the evil one would do in our midst. And that we would be wise, that we wouldn't go into situations that would compromise our security and our safety. That, Lord, we would wave a flag, a red flag where necessary, and say, this is not right, this is not appropriate. And we pray, Lord, that when we've experienced things to us, even in this room this morning, Lord God, that your grace would flood into our hearts, that would restore us and bring us back to life and health and hope for a better future. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.